It's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gangway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
Oh, yeah, it's going on. It's still going. Got a response from Dan who says, it's not about defending pot growers. I have a problem with writing monopolies into state constitutions. Oh, okay. So, the moral argument is that stopping monopolies trumps saving the lives of medical marijuana patients.
Got it.
Sorry, if you're listening to me in Ohio and you're in hospice care, you got 6 months left to live. Well, let's just say you got 18 months left to live, right? You're in hospice. You got a year left to you. Yeah. A year left to live. You got 1 year left to live. You're in hospice. You could use some medical marijuana. And there's a vote coming up on it in November. And if that thing were to pass, then you could probably use medical marijuana. You could go buy some and have some and use it. But if it fails in 2015, you'll probably be dead. But at least you can go to your grave knowing that Ohio didn't institute another constitutional monopoly, because keep in mind, they already have a constitutional monopoly on casinos. That was the idea that brought this forth. And that seems to be the argument I get from some people, is that the constitutional monopoly is the problem. And again, it's not a monopoly. Monopoly, mono, means one, right? They're not writing in one pot grower. They're writing in 10. And it's not a cartel, because a cartel is a group of economic interests that are aligned and colluding with each other. That's illegal under the Sherman Antitrust Act. So these 10 growers will have to be competing with each other. The proper definition might be oligopoly, which is a small group controlled by the rich, basically. In which case, it's hard for me to distinguish how this oligopoly of 10 growers in Ohio is so offensive. But Marijuana Policy Project's oligopoly of 2 growers in Minnesota is okay. Or 22 growers in, or 20 growers in New York, that's fine. Is the number too small? Is it it's just 10 people? What would be the proper number of growers in the state? Because every state so far that is legalized has set some sort of limit within their licensing schemes. I know retail outlets in Washington state were limited to 334. Why is that not an oligopoly? Takes a whole lot of money to open up a pot store in Washington state. The application fees aren't that great, but the general operating fees are. And trying to just keep in business is expensive. In what industry do we not have some sort of oligopoly going on? Try opening up a big box store someday. See how well that goes for you. Pretty much already taken by Walmart and Target, isn't it? I'm boggled by this. I can't wrap my mind around the idea of people thinking that writing these 10 growers into the Constitution is so egregious, that we need to keep punishing pot smokers and allowing medical marijuana patients to suffer. I just don't get it. It blows my mind to think that drug policy people are conflicted about this. Was this movement really just about making sure growers got paid? Hell, I could have been doing something else with the last 10 years of my life if that was the case. Maybe I could have actually been working on getting paid myself. Maybe I should have become a grower or something. Instead of standing up for the rights of the consumers, instead of standing up for the patients to not be dying and sick because they don't have access to cannabis. But apparently that's what it is to MPP, or at least to Dan Riffle. MPP is neutral. Apparently that's the deal. Apparently we're in this to make growers rich. And if not enough of the growers are allowed to be rich, then fuck it, we need to still be criminals. We still need to be punished by cops. We still need to have drug dogs sniffing around our cars. We still need to have neighbors pointing out the smell coming from our yard and sending the cops over to our house in no-knock SWAT raids and pointing guns at us and shooting our pets. We need to keep letting that happen because doggone it, not enough growers are getting rich. Doggone it. So Dan says, anyone who has a problem with RO is anti-punishment, anti-patient, pro-punishment. You've gone off the deep end, friend. We are done here. Okay. Well, not necessarily, Dan. Just the result. Not necessarily, just the results of your vote. Let's type that up. Let's go take a break here. We're going to come back. We'll have more. I'm going to get macro-aggressive against microaggressions in just a second.
Continue the conversation with... Continue the conversation with Radical Russ online. Visit RadicalRuss.com and email RadicalRuss@gmail.com.
Radio, the world's voice of marijuana legalization.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Norman. And I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org. Or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
Hey, I'm Herb Thrasher, host of the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, live every Friday night at 8 Pacific. Tune in for 2 hours of metal marijuana mayhem featuring exclusive interviews with the latest bands, highlights of live shows, and the latest in marijuana news. It's the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, Friday nights at 8 p.m. at 420 Radio, or catch the replay on Saturday nights.
Radio is brought to you by Sacred Serum, who is focused on creating elegant and sophisticated cannabis solutions through its line of dispensers and vaporizers that come preloaded with the world's finest cannabis concentrate. Sacred Serum's concentrate is made on pharmaceutical-grade supercritical CO2 extraction machines that use absolutely no butane or other toxic chemicals. The Vesica, the company's innovative new way to dab and frost, is now available in dispensaries across California. Sacred Serum. Elegance and sophistication concentrated.
Welcome back, everybody. That's Sly and the Family Stone with I Want to Take You Higher. I still got some more. I gotta wind this up. I can't stop talking about it. So I got a response. Another response back from Dan. He's upset with me now. He doesn't want to have the conversation anymore. And he says, let's see. It's a complicated issue on which reasonable minds can and do disagree, but you do you. And what else? So anyone who has a problem with RO is anti-patient, pro-punishment. You've gone off the deep end. We're done here. Well, no, you might be pro-patient and anti-punishment in your heart, Dan, but the result of your vote will be that patients will suffer, tokers will get punished because not enough growers are making money. That's the end result of the vote. There's no nuance on the ballot. It's either vote for legalization that ends patients and tokers getting punished, or vote against legalization that ends patients and tokers being punished. And so many of these people are just basically telling me they could give 3/10 of a fuck about patients and tokers getting punished for the next year or two or six because not enough growers will make money. That's what this breaks down to. Growers won't make money, so tokers and patients must continue to be criminals. And here's the other thing that really bothers me about this, right? All these RO haters keep pointing to the other four groups as if any one of them has a shot in hell. Ohioans to End Prohibition, Ohio Rights Group, what's the other one? Legalize Ohio and Responsible Ohioans for Cannabis. Now, first of all, if all four of those groups banded together on one initiative for 2016, you might get my attention. But the fact that there exists four other groups, that all four seem to hate Responsible Ohio, and even under that, they can't band together for one initiative drive, that tells me right off the bat that there's no serious political players involved there, that there's not a chance in hell anything's going to happen. But let's pretend for a second that it could. Let's pretend that OTEP or Responsible Ohioans for Cannabis or Ohio Rights Group or any of these other alphabet soup name groups, let's pretend that they can get the signatures necessary for 2016. Let's pretend they get 8 figures in funding, because that's what it takes. It takes over $20 million to get this done. And during the 2016 election, when it's a general election, probably more. Let's pretend that can happen. Let's pretend someone in Ohio can manage the signatures and the money necessary to pass legalization in 2016. If that's the case, doesn't that group have the power to pass something, an amendment, that would undo the parts of Responsible Ohio that you hate? How can it be possible that you have all the power necessary to get the perfect legalization on the ballot in 2016, but you won't be able to if Responsible Ohio passes in 2015? How is it that I can hear all these predictions from the anti-RO people telling me how awful the constitutional cartel will be, how shitty the weed will be, how much corruption there will be, how awful it will be to have this cartel written into the Constitution, but you wouldn't be able to use that to muster public support to undo that in 2016 or 2018 or 2020? I don't get it. I just don't get it. Is the argument that if 2015 legalization passes, it takes legalization off the table and you can't motivate enough people to vote for something in 2016? If so, does that not argue that the 2015 legalization that passes would be amenable to most of the people in the state of Ohio? You can't have it both ways. You can't predict how shitty Responsible Ohio is going to be and then pretend that you wouldn't be able to undo that with your own ballot initiative. Why not pass Responsible Ohio and then make your next initiative an initiative to open up commercial growing? Just that. Because then all the heavy lifting of getting a medical marijuana program established, getting legalization established, getting pot shops established, getting processing established, testing established, would all be solved. You could just go forward with, okay, here's our new amendment. The Fix Responsible Ohio Amendment of 2016 takes out this section that lists just 10 grows and instead creates a licensing system. The 10 grows can still exist, but then other people can apply for licenses. It just doesn't add up. It just doesn't add up. And I at least have one guy on Twitter who's backing me up, UO Forever, who says, if you vote against legalization, you are voting for prohibition. Tell me more about how you vote in favor of prohibition. And that's it. Now, what I keep hearing is, well, we should wait. We shouldn't write this into our Constitution. We can wait. The problem's not bad enough. That's what Dan Riffle said. The problem's not bad enough for us to support this. We can get something better down the road. You know, like California in 2010. Remember that one? Prop 19? Prop 19 had to be opposed because it only let a 5x5 garden. And it would create, and I remember these same fucking words in 2010. It would create a monopoly in Oakland. It would create a cartel in Oakland. It's only so those rich Northern Californians can get even richer. I heard the same complaints about Prop 19. And I watched Prop 19 go down in defeat. And I watched medical marijuana dispensaries and growers campaigning against it, putting flyers in their bags of weed that they'd sell to medical marijuana patients who, let's be honest here, in California, most of them are recreational consumers, spending money they made off of cannabis consumers to convince cannabis consumers to remain criminals as cannabis consumers. Remarkable. And they said, well, if we're California, if we're going to legalize, we should do it right. Let's legalize the right way. We don't have to settle for Prop 19. We'll get the 2012, we'll pass legalization the right way. And you know what happened in 2012? They didn't pass legalization. They didn't even have it on the ballot. There wasn't even a signature drive. Oh, we'll get it in 2014. Nope. Nothing in 2014. We're looking at 2016, folks. 6 years after Prop 19 failed. So Dan and these folks say, well, 2 to 6 years, you know, Ohio might be able to get something good. Well, let's see. 6 years, 19,000 arrests in 6 years. Six times 20 is 1,220,000 minus the 6,000. 114,000 more arrests between now and when we might be able to get on the ballot again. It's just remarkable. I can't believe it. And it's like this legalization in Ohio, proposed for Ohio. If you're someone who wants to possess an ounce of weed, you can possess an ounce of weed. Just like you'd be able to do under Prop 19, under, let me get this comparison up. I read this up a little earlier today. So let's ask about legalization. Is the following legal? Can I possess personal amounts of marijuana? California's Prop 19? Amendment 64? Washington's Initiative 502? Measure 80 in Oregon that failed? Measure 91 that passed in Oregon? Alaska's Measure 2? Initiative 71 in D.C.? And Responsible Ohio? You'd be able to possess personal marijuana. So in that respect, Responsible Ohio is exactly like every legalization that's ever passed. Now, can I grow cannabis plants at home? Prop 19? Amendment 64? Washington's Initiative 502? Measure 80 in Oregon? Measure 91 in Oregon? Measure 2 in Alaska? Initiative 71 in D.C.? Responsible Ohio? So, when it comes to growing cannabis plants at home, Responsible Ohio is actually better than Washington State's legalization. How about shopping at a marijuana store? Prop 19? Amendment 64? Initiative 502? Measure 80? Measure 91? Measure 2? Washington, D.C.? Responsible Ohio? All right, so in Responsible Ohio, you can actually shop at a marijuana store, unlike Washington, D.C.'s legalization. So it's better in that way, too, huh? All right, it's probably enough time I've spent on Ohio, and I've probably pissed off enough people who are very important in the movement for one day. When we come back, we're talking about microaggressions. Stay tuned.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with our Shoutcast stream for all internet-enabled media players. Go to rad-r.us/420shout or just click the Shoutcast icon below the live radio feed at 420radio.org. Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal, ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers. The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com. Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Groovin' Thursday, featuring rap, hip-hop, soul, and funk music. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
All right, welcome back. Time for our Daily Toker Tunes. It's Groovin' Thursday, so we got some tunes to bring you. Unfortunately, Chuck Diesel couldn't call in today, but he's got us a new tune with various artists. Rocky featuring Danny Brown, Zaloopers, Kush, Coma. The song is called ASAP. Enjoy.
Smoke weed every day.
Roll1Smoke1.com.
Close my eyes, feel like I'm going down in an elevator 90 miles an hour. And all I see are stars and they coming at me, sort of like a media show. Forehead sweaty, my eyelid heavy, feeling like I ain't gon' make. Gonna make. Cut inside my head like a fireworks show on a 4th of July in Las Vegas. Said I'm tripped, I'm slipped, feeling like I just came up. I done took me a couple more pills. Next thing I know, I'm taking on my shoes. And I'm walking on these clouds like marshmallow. Not no smelling like rose petal. Zoning out, 2-3 like a fiend in hell. Science about that world. All these drugs up in me. It's a miracle. I'm Eric Kirk. I'm not like a mortician. Going down with Oakland bitches. They say you hella bootsy. Rolling back, what up with them cuts? I'm smoking back to back, back to back, back to back. It's the blunt at the block rotation. Now I'm in a cutch car off the OG aroma and my brain going on vacation. I'm smoking back to back, back to back, back to back. It's the blunt at the block rotation. Now I'm in a cutch car off the OG aroma and my brain going on vacation. Kush, come.
Kush, come. Kush coma, I am in a Kush coma. Kush coma, I am in a Kush coma. Kush coma,
smooth Montana.
Kush coma, I am in a Kush coma. Kush coma, I am in a Kush coma. Kush coma, I am in a Kush coma.
Yeah,
Kush coma.
jet fly, my nigga dope looks. So many numbers in my phone book, I can sell the motherfucking phone book. No, all the fly bitches gon' look like I'm on some, tell a bro something. I'm that one nigga bumping two pots with like three hoes, that's a faux something. Fuck niggas always wanna hoe something. Young hot nigga done froze on them, went cold on them, beat the goals on them, and the clothes on them, see the hoes on them. Only fear God never sold on them. Man, I swear to God, put my soul on them. Life's a bitch, but she chose on them. Should've died in hell, but I rose on them. Convictions, fuck the hypocrites, stop. Time, let the tax for the tick tock. Clocks on the wall, fuck your wrist, watch. Pause, let it stop, hope we get by. Five, when I zoom, let it room by the 100 goons with a fume, finna let it fuse. 100 miles an hour on the booze, finna let it loose. 100 by the sour molly flower and they let us room. That's real rap, I'm stating facts. Contradictions, can't take it back. Lil mama stripping, make it clap. And the Kush Coma finna take a nap.
Wow. Kush Coma.
I'm playing tight. Nuggets out the right damn ring. Got my hair looking like the fake Tyler screen. Got my mind dressed and gotta get away from all this bullshit in my way. Knowing goddamn well when the high go away, same shit gonna be still in my way. I'm a slave to the sticky, ay. So nigga roll something wet. Been smoking blunt since high school. Now look at all the bullshit I've been through. Wanna pass over, we staying up. Nigga gotta keep one eye open. Cause nigga ain't tryna miss it. Next time nigga roll up and we start smoking. I'm smoking on that out shout. Got my mind in that cosmos. Sipping on that purple. Got a nigga in slow-mo. Dipping in that molly. Feeling like I'm doing a hundred on the Harley. Tell your baby mama sorry. That was one night and her don't call me. And we smoking back to back, back to back, back to back. In the blunt, if the blunt rotates. Now I'm in a Kush Coma with that OG aroma. Got my brain gone on vacation. So I'm smoking back to back, back to back, back to back. On the blunt, at the blunt rotates. Now I'm in a Kush Coma off the OG aroma. Got my brain gone on vacation. Kush Coma.
Kush Coma. Kush Coma. Kush Coma. I am in a 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 Kush Coma. I am in a Kush Coma.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with the TuneIn Radio app for all mobile platforms. Go to rad-r.us/420TuneIn or just click the TuneIn Radio icon below the live radio feed on 420radio.org. This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today. Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Yeah, buddy. I got a cold and all that shit. Show y'all how hard I work. I really go in, man. It's from the heart, it's from the soul. Still having fun too, though, man. It's gonna be a real big year. You watch. I'm telling you.
They say the game done changed. There's just some new players in it, and they all wanna see my team get up there and win it. Try to keep me still, look where I'm at now. We made it too far, look back down. But I ain't never ever gonna forget what I've been told.
No,
and I ain't never ever going back to being broke. Cause if I
All right, welcome back, everyone. That's the music from Wiz Khalifa with Never Ever. Finishing up some of my tweets here to some of the folks on today's particular topic. Yeah. I just got one that said, well, responsible Ohio only allows you to grow four plants at home and only possess 8 ounces at home, and everybody knows that a plant can produce more than 2 ounces. Yeah, agreed. You're suffering the same problem that Oregon has. We just legalized 4 plants and 8 ounces. So what's going to happen when you grow your 4 plants and you harvest it and you've got 10 ounces? What's going to happen? Cops are going to break through the door immediately because through their powers of psychic crime stopping, they will know that you have 10 ounces there, huh? It's like you're growing plants now. And any plant you grow now is going to get you busted. Felony style. You're growing plants now, and the smell of marijuana is going to get you busted. Felony style. And you're worried that when you're allowed to legally grow 4 plants and legally possess 8 ounces, you'll somehow get busted for 9 ounces. When right now, you can be busted for 4 ounces. I don't get it. The mental gymnastics you have to go through to invent how life is going to suck worse when you go from prohibited criminal marijuana to legalized commercial marijuana. The gymnastics you have to go through, the way you have to flex is just amazing. The flexibility you have to create a more harmful situation after legalization than before it. I just don't get it. And I keep getting these responses back. This would be a terrible precedent to set. Oh, this would be awful if we showed people they could buy their own constitutional monopoly. Well, folks, look. Right now, the state of Ohio, their legislature, is considering a bill, a referred measure, that they would also put on the ballot that would make it so you couldn't establish any sort of economic monopoly through the Constitution. Don't you think other initiative states are going to take notice of that? I mean, first of all, there's only like 24, 25, 26 states where you can do that, depending on if it's referred or a referendum or whatever. So only half the country can have initiatives as it is. Don't you think that if Responsible Ohio passes, and it's the awful constitutional cartel that you're predicting it's going to be, that other states with initiatives are going to put a bill into their legislature that says, hey, let's make it so that they can't set up these constitutional monopolies. And even if they did, or even if they didn't, there's no guarantee that this is going to be the precedent that is set. I heard that same argument in 2012. We can't vote for Initiative 502. It's got no home grow and 5 nanogram per CUID. Why, if we voted for that, it would set the precedent. And every state after that would have per CUIDs and no home grow. Well, guess what? None of them did. Alaska, Oregon, and Washington, D.C. all kept impairment-based DUIDs and allowed for home grow. The precedent didn't get set. And furthermore, the precedent that a bunch of rich people might invest in a constitutional amendment that makes them richer, and in doing so, freeze hundreds of thousands of pot smokers and tens of thousands of patients, doesn't sound like a bad offer in a lot of states. I can tell you right now, in fact, one of my chat people said, I live in a highly conservative state. I would support legalization if it only let Donald Trump grow. That's a good point, right? But I'm from Idaho, right? If George Soros wanted to waltz into Idaho and say, look, we're going to legalize personal and medical marijuana, you'll be able to home grow, but only the Soros Corporation will be able to grow the marijuana. You'll have to all buy Soros weed. Freaking activists in Idaho, Georgia, Tennessee, Kansas, South Dakota would jump at that. Be like, yeah, fantastic. All right, I gotta get on another. I gotta get another topic here. I gotta get another topic. Let me go to the Washington Post. We're gonna go off the warpath here for a little bit. Talk about something non-marijuana for a second, because I like to do that from time to time. And this is something I heard of from Eugene Volokh, who writes the Volokh Conspiracy column on the Washington Post. He's a legal legal writer and just very brilliant guy. And he teaches at University of California. And so he brought up this point that the University of California has sent from their Office of President Academic and Personnel Programs. Oh, from the Office of the President and the Academic and Personnel Programs Department's website are items that the University of California, it's a guide that they're sending to the professors, the faculty at the University of California. And remember, that's a lot of, you know, that's UCLA, that's UC Berkeley, that's UC Davis, that's like the whole system, right? So they sent this guidebook out to the faculty at the University of California on how to recognize microaggressions and the messages they send. Now, if you're in a conservative state, you might not have heard of this term microaggressions, but out here on the liberal left coast, it's all the rage. And microaggressions, according to the definition, are the everyday verbal, nonverbal, and environmental slights, snubs, or insults, whether intentional or unintentional, that communicate hostile, derogatory, or negative messages to target persons based solely upon their marginalized group membership. Okay, so first of all, the first thing you need to know about microaggressions is that microaggressions can only be against marginalized groups. You can't have a microaggression against a white male. You can have microaggressions against black men or Asian women or disabled Koreans or, you know, any marginalized group, right? Microaggression is a snub that communicates a hostile message to a marginalized group. The first step, they continue, the first step in addressing microaggressions is to recognize when a microaggression has occurred and what message it may be sending. The context of the relationship and situation are critical. Below are common themes to which microaggressions attach. Now, so they have, and from here they list a series of themes and examples on what microaggressions are. Okay, here's one. One theme is colorblindness. Statements that indicate that a white person does not want to or need to acknowledge race. So if a white person says something like, well, there's only one race, the human race, that's a microaggression against black people. Because it subtly implies, when you say there's only one race, the human race, it implies you saying there is no racial problem because there's only one race. And obviously we have racial problems. So I get that. I can see why that can be like a microaggression to say something like that. But then there's this one that they list down to say, America is a melting pot. This UC Davis California document is saying to their faculty that expressing that America is a melting pot is a microaggression against marginalized communities. Now, the problem with that is that, and again, I'm not saying that we should go out of our way to insult people, right? Or offend people. Certainly not. But there's some situations that are actually true. For example, this America is a melting pot. According to the people that are against the microaggressions, they say that puts unacceptable social pressure on minorities to assimilate into the dominant culture, right? When you say melting pot, you're telling the Hispanic to lose all their cultural affectations of being Latino and then assimilate into the dominant white culture. That's the theory. But if you actually look at the facts, America is a melting pot. A 2010 report by the Center for American Progress found that assimilation process is working for today's immigrants, replacing misleading rhetoric on immigration opponents with firm data. This study shows that assimilation is happening across our nation. The CAP study shows that immigrants adopt the local language, spread out across the country, advance in terms of education and income, become citizens, and buy homes. This is true across all racial and national immigrant groups. So America is a melting pot. Now, whether or not you think people should assimilate or are being forced to assimilate, whether or not you think that, does not change the simple fact that America is a melting pot. That's what has been happening. People have been melting into this shared experience of being American. And furthermore, the melting pot idea doesn't just work on the non-white side. It works on the white side too. As Irish folks assimilated into this country, white folks started celebrating St. Patrick's Day. As Latino folks assimilated, white folks started eating burritos and tacos and celebrating Cinco de Mayo. As black folks started producing great music in the 50s, white folks started stealing it, and it became the dominant musical form of popular music for all races. So you know, this microaggression thing bothers me. And the other thing that bothers me is that they said one of the things is you can't say America is the land of opportunity. That would be a microaggression. The idea being that, well, because you, if you say America's the land of opportunity, you're saying that other countries aren't the land of opportunity. And that's fair to quibble about because, yeah, there's actually more income mobility in a lot of European countries than there is in the United States. But the simple reality is that America is a land of opportunity for immigrants. Economists looked at this data in 2012 and found that immigrants to the U.S. tend to dramatically increase their earnings relative to what they earned in their old countries. Immigrants also tend to catch up to the native-born average. The children and grandchildren of immigrants tend to catch up to the native-born levels of home ownership and educational attainment. So it does appear that America actually is a land of opportunity. And so when you get to this, all these microaggressions and what people can say and what people can't say, I think you're in very dangerous ground here. Here's another one that bothered me is the myth of meritocracy, statements which assert that race or gender does not play a role in life successes, right? The myth of meritocracy, the idea. Now, if you say things like, everyone can succeed in this society if they work hard enough. Well, that's not necessarily true, is it? Some people, you know, might come from a situation based on race or disability or whatever the discrimination might be where they aren't able to succeed if they work hard enough. No matter how hard they work, they don't get ahead. So that's true, sure. But this other thing that's considered a microaggression with respect to meritocracy is, I believe the most qualified person should get the job. How is that a microaggression? Don't we want the most qualified person to get the job? I believe the most qualified person should get the job. How can that be a microaggression against anybody? Now, does the most qualified person always get the job? No. Because of racism, because of sexism, because of heterosexism, whatever it might be. But our belief that the most qualified person should get the job, how is that a microaggression against anyone? And this other one that really bothers me, it's apparently a microaggression to say affirmative action is racist. What, we can't even question a social policy now? Questioning affirmative action as racist is now something that is offensive and harmful to marginalized groups? I'll say it right now. I think affirmative action's racist. It's the very definition of racism. Affirmative action is adding points to someone's score, giving them a leg up on another candidate based on their race. That's the textbook definition of racism. If you base something on someone's race, it's racist. Is it not? I may have to turn, if this microaggression crap is what it takes to be a liberal anymore, I might have to turn in my liberal card.
The beginning of the end started in 1996 when California legalized weed for so-called medical purposes. 16 years later, Washington and Colorado legalized it outright and let people sell it from storefronts. And what has been the result?
The generation of millions of dollars in tax revenue for the states and creation of hundreds of new jobs in a growing multi-billion dollar industry?
No. Well, yes. But at what cost?
Let's see. The cost of all that police time and money that's now spent going after real criminals and prisons with enough room to hold them all?
No. Well, yes. But look at what it's done to the people.
You mean that fewer of them are dying of alcohol, tobacco, and prescription-related causes since they've switched to cannabis, and many more are receiving medical benefit from a cheap, non-toxic healing herb?
No. Well, yes. Yes. Yes to all of that. But I can smell pot from my backyard. And I can't tell my kids not to do it because it's illegal.
420 Radio is 24-hour marijuana legalization radio. At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
In the cool of the evening, when everything is getting kind of groovy, you call me up and ask me, would I like to go with you and see a movie? First I say no, I got some plans for tonight, and then I stop and say,
welcome back, everybody. Big news to let you know about here, breaking just this moment. So glad to be able to tell you. The state of Delaware has just become the 20th state to decriminalize marijuana. The governor just signed the bill in Delaware decriminalizing, and let me see if I can pull up what the amounts are, because I think it's not a full ounce in Delaware. Let's see. Decriminalizes marijuana possession, USA Today. Let's see what this one says. It's a bill that would, Delawareans under the age of 18 would still face criminal penalties. Those between ages 18 and 21 would get a criminal penalty on their second arrest. And the legislation would impose a $100 civil fine on adults found with up to 1 ounce of marijuana. Police could still confiscate the drug while imposing the civil penalty. Smoking in a moving vehicle remains criminal. Smoking in a park, on a sidewalk, and other public places remains criminal. So, yes, Governor there, Markell, has signed it, and Delaware is the 20th state to decriminalize marijuana. So good for you, Delaware, because that's really all you need. Don't worry about, you know, legalizing anytime soon, because it's okay. You know, decriminalization is all we need. Just as long as people are just being fined and losing their driver's licenses. No need to move on to legalization. I mean, unless we allow growers to get rich. As long as growers get rich, then it's cool. So I have Grow Up California has been followed me on this one. And he says, Radical Russ has ditched his normal roots in order to promote bad public policy. Vote no to RO if you value personal and economic freedom. Okay, so again, the only economic freedom not granted by Responsible Ohio is a pot grower growing and selling his weed legally. That's not legal now. So when Responsible Ohio passes, it doesn't change the illegality of growing pot. It doesn't make it any worse. Meanwhile, it makes a whole bunch of other stuff a whole lot better, including the tools that cops would use to bust the grower who's growing illegally. I don't understand why people are opposed to that. And by the way, Grow Up California, Normal's roots are in defending marijuana consumers. Keith Stropp was part of Nader's Raiders, not the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Now, he responded. He responded by saying, what about defending the wallets of cannabis consumers? You're fine with perpetuating the black market to get a good price? And again, I don't understand what that means. Does that mean that the 10 growers under Responsible Ohio are somehow going to be selling marijuana for greater than the black market price of marijuana in Ohio right now? And if they do, wouldn't the black market growers be able to stay in business? I mean, there's no internal logic to this opposition, folks. If Responsible Ohio succeeds and there's 10 cartel growers, and they grow good weed that costs less than the prohibition prices, then that will have helped the consumers. And if they grow marijuana that's the same as the prohibition prices, it has not made it any worse for the consumer's wallet, and it's made it a whole lot better for the consumer's freedom, and it doesn't take $150 out of that consumer's wallet when he's busted for decriminalized weed in Ohio. Currently, according to priceofweed.com, the price of a high-quality ounce of marijuana in Ohio is $331. Medium quality is $219 and low quality is $158 an ounce. And we're supposed to believe that these 10 mega growers are somehow going to produce weed that costs more than that. I don't buy it, folks. I don't buy it. And if you defeat, and Vendicar, chat room, thank you. If you defeat Responsible Ohio, you're perpetuating the black market. You're assisting the black market. This thing about this economic freedom. The economic freedom one is them saying, I want to be able to grow weed and sell it legally. Now, if you're someone who's already growing and selling weed, you can keep doing that. And it will be harder to catch you. Responsible Ohio will make it easier for the illegal weed grower. The one thing it might do, the only thing that it could do that would change the world of the illegal grower as it exists now is if Responsible Ohio successfully reduces the prices of weed, or at least provides enough safety, purity, quality, and selection at the pot shops that people start shopping there instead of the illegal weed grower. So what this comes down to is that the only way this hurts the illegal weed grower is if the Responsible Ohio cartels actually do a good job growing and selling weed, right? Now, if you're not currently an illegal weed grower and you want to get into the weed growing business, you can't now, and you won't be able to after Responsible Ohio. So it doesn't change your world either. It's a net push for a currently not growing legal grower and a currently growing illegal grower. It's a push for you guys. But what it's not a push for is the patients and the consumers. Patients will be able to grow their own medicine, treat their ailments when they can't now. Individuals will be able to buy and shop at weed shops, possess marijuana, grow their own marijuana, and no longer face the risk of drug dogs and I smell pot at a traffic stop. What is the nightmare scenario here? They act as if passing this means that now and forever, there will only be 10 pot growers in Ohio for now and forever. And again, if you think you can get the money and the signatures to put legalization on the ballot, how can you not have the money and signatures to tweak the legalization that's passed? I don't understand why this is so scary. Is the scare that, oh my God, if they do this in Ohio, they might do this in Idaho or Utah or Wyoming or Arizona or New Mexico or any of the other states that have the legalization or have initiatives possible? They want to set that precedent that these big companies would come in and buy up all the rest of the states? Well, look, eventually what's going to happen, that is, if we keep passing legalization, eventually what's going to happen is it's going to be legal federally or it's not going to be illegal federally anymore, right? They may not ever, the feds may never come out and say marijuana is legal, but they may take it out of their law books of being illegal at the federal level. When the federal legalization happens, how well do you think these 10 constitutional locked down pot growers in Ohio are ever going to compete with what will become multi-state operations from California, Colorado, West Coast, and so forth? Locking those 10 growers into their own little constitutional fiefdoms in Ohio eventually in the big picture is going to screw them. Because they'll be stuck being only able to grow for Ohio and only being able to sell for Ohioans. Meanwhile, Colorado and California companies will be also selling all around the rest of the country, around Ohio. It's just amazing to me for people who understand that for the past 80 years, marijuana has been prohibited. For the past 80 years, the federal government, the state government, the local government can send cops to your house to rip up your plants and throw you in jail. And despite that threat, indoor marijuana growing has flourished. Marijuana has flourished. Are we supposed to believe that somehow 10 growers written into a constitution are going to have a more deleterious effect on the cannabis markets than absolute prohibition has? It makes no sense. And Vendekar says, the worst part of this argument is the pure activists are using scare tactics similar to the prohibitionists like Kevin Sabet. Similar? Hell, they're on the same side now. Kevin Sabet and Dan Riffle will both be voting against Ohio legalization. I know Kevin lives in Florida, but still, you get my point. Dan Riffle and the Ohio State Police will both be voting against legalization. Dan Riffle and the rehab industry will both be voting against legalization. And I know there's nuance and I know there's shades in this, but nuance and shades aren't counted on the ballot. What's counted is yes and no votes. And no votes mean you want to continue the war on drugs against me. That's all the time we got. Thanks for joining us. I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at radicalrus.com. You take a seat, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you